Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two of my great, great friends and colleagues, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Henry Cloud. And your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're just back from Israel. If you were there with us, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Or if you've got a problem, we want to help you today.
I love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What can we do for you?
I should talk to a therapist.
You definitely need.
I should go unload on somebody.
What's the question about that?
Whether I'm saved, because I'm just nuttier than a fruitcake.
Well, as Steve said, if being nutty can't equal being saved, he and I are in trouble as well, especially him.
That's the first really honest thing I think I've heard you say, and I'm not trying to be mean. That sounded honest.
And you work at listening to her.
Your mom is a marriage vulture, and she sits on your shoulder, and what you want her to become is a hummingbird. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon, how are you?
Steve, how are you? I'm so excited. I'm still pumped up about the Israel trip.
Me too. And again, if anybody is hanging out and you were on that trip, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you and just hear what it meant to you, what you learned, if anything, what it was like being with the New Life crew. And also there in the studio is Dr. Henry Cloud.
Hey, Stevie. How are you?
Hey, Henry. Well, I'm very good. And a late happy Father's Day to both of you, two very, very great fathers. I had a kind of a triple dog weekend. I preached, and it was Father's Day, and then it was my birthday was on Saturday, which, you know, to celebrate moving closer to death is getting harder and harder, you know. I turned 58, and, of course, at 58, everything hurts, and the only thing that doesn't hurt is something that doesn't work anymore. And that's just, you know, you wake up and you feel like it's the night, the morning after, and there was no night before. You know what I mean? You just, it's just hard.
Henry, I think we need to get him to a depression support group here. He's suffering some real loss.
I don't know, Stevie. Maybe Mylon and I could, I don't know. I've always wanted to minister to senior citizens. Maybe this could be, you know, the beginning of that.
Well, I long for rocking chairs now. It's just hard to get them started. That's the bigger thing.
Well,
there.
At least we have the privilege of getting the wisdom of our elders, and we hope you just pass that on for a long time. The Bible really says a lot about that, actually.
It really does. And Steve,
yes.
On this Israel trip, I've never taken more Aleve and Advil in my whole life. I took like bottles of this stuff because I'm hurting every day. These days were just grueling. They were beautiful. They were phenomenal. Yeah. But they, you
I
know,
mean,
we
I
have
to send you guys to boot camp.
Oh my gosh, we went. You know, the Israel tour guides took us out from 8:30 in the morning to like 7 o'clock at night, and then because it's a New Life thingy, we got to add a little bit to the front, a little bit at the nighttime, and then pretty soon it's a 15-hour day.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, I had little achy stuff going all the whole time.
Yeah,
I loved it though, man. It was great.
I did too. And anyway, it's great to be alive at 58, even though, you know, I've gone from sowing the wild oats to shredded wheat. It's a good feeling. That's all I'm saying. But happy Father's Day to everybody. And
I think I'm hearing a Metamucil moment here. I really am.
I think you are too. We'll take a break and come back shortly in just a moment. But before we go to that break, remember our phone number, 1-800-229-3000. That's the number to call, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to hear from you if you went on that trip. And then also we're here because of wanting to help you with any kind of problem possible. I want to mention something. Henry and I are going to be on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, Praise the Lord, on June the 30th there. And so put that on the calendar. We'd love to know what you think. It's going to be a discussion on that program about Christian counseling. And I'm excited about that. One of the guys that's on TBN a lot, Josh McDowell, was so moved by the material that Henry had helped him with. And then the TBN people were moved by Josh McDowell. So they said, let's talk about this thing. Is this the real deal? Is this from Satan? Whatever. All right, we'll take a break and come back right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Henry Cloud. Our resource, if you support our ministry today, is Regret-Free Living.
Steve?
Yes, sir?
Speaking of regret-free living, we would all regret it if the staff didn't have an opportunity to sing happy birthday to you, since your birthday was just a couple of days ago. So I think this is the most crowded I've ever seen in the studio. So I think you guys want to sing something, don't you?
There's finally some wisdom in this room.
Yeah, now there's wisdom and youth. All right. Let's hear it from Steve.
I love that.
One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Steve. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. That is so great. Thanks so much. Love you guys, and really plan to celebrate my birthday the rest of the month. And I was just grateful. You know, Father's Day was started yesterday, 101 years ago, and I was so grateful that it did. Hallmark was having a bad year that year, and thought they'd just, well, might as well thank these dads. But we've got some great dads out there, and I want to salute the dads that went to Every Man's Battle last year because you wanted to be a man of integrity for your sons and daughters. Mm. I salute you. I congratulate you. It was a bold move, and I'm glad you made it. All right, let's go to
Steve,
the phones.
Steve,
sorry, Henry. Yeah, go ahead.
One little comment. There's a thousand things we can say about Father's Day, but I was really struck. There was an article in the L.A. Times, either Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember which. And it was by a researcher, and she's a psychology professor somewhere. And she was talking about they had done all this research about women, competent, you know, high-performing women and a bunch of other women, and the relationship that their fathers, with their fathers, had on them, kind of the consequences of that. And it was interesting because it almost sounded like she was a little surprised that women were some, and even with, especially with fathers that didn't give them a warm relationship, that she said they still, even in adulthood, care what this guy thinks who hasn't even deserved that kind of respect and struggle with men and this, that, and the other. And it was a little bit of a wake up call, kind of like, you know, dads kind of matter, and you better show up.
Yeah,
and I was taken aback by the fact that it's almost like a surprise, and we really should know that. And I was you know, thinking it'd be a great time just to salute all the dads that make the effort to show up when you're too tired to talk, to get engaged, you know, to put the newspaper down or get away from your computer or whatever. And love those kids no matter what age they are, because you will make a difference. It literally goes on for generations.
It really does. You know, Steve, I remember a call from maybe last year, a guy that went to our Every Man Battle workshop, and he came home and he said, I realize I have not seen my kids for a year. And he says, I realize I now have the capacity to see them because I have my eyes off of this pornography and I'm able to be present. There's a great book written by a guy, it was entitled Practicing the Presence of People. And I think what we're saying here is learning to be present with our family members is so critical, and pornography really gets in the way, just to kind of hitchhike on what you were saying a moment ago. So sure our hats are off to those dads who choose to be engaged and be a part of the process.
I remember a woman who was at a workshop I was doing one time, and we did a role play.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was playing her father.
Yeah.
And this was a high-performing corporate leader who just could not get over all of her, you know, performance issues and needs for approval. This and that. Somebody's playing her father. And the director of the little workshop said to her, okay, what's your father doing in your head when you picture him? And she says, hold the newspaper up where I can't see your face. And so the guy holds the newspaper up where she couldn't see his face. And finally, and she would have been, you know, early 40s, the tears start streaming down her face. She runs over there and she just rips the newspaper out from this guy's arms and just screaming, listen to me, look at me, look at me, trying to get this zombie of a dad to look at her.
And that's the reality.
And the mistake we make is we think because we turn 21, we're somehow grown up. Right. We don't realize how powerful that little child is still within each one of us that longs to be looked at and known and seen by mom and dad. It's powerful.
I want to read you guys something.
Yeah.
This is by a psychiatrist named Frank Pittman, and he specializes in treating men. Here's what he says about the man's influence on a boy. He says, a mother may give her son booming self-esteem, may imbue him with a wonderful sense of his specialness, but she can't have expertise on what he as a man is to do with that masculine specialness. Mothers, no matter how wise and wonderful, can only point boys in certain directions. But boys need fathers to show them how far they can go. It's hard to imagine how we can raise a better generation of sons until we have a better generation of fathers. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because here's the opportunity for the church to go from the consumer-driven, I'm there to get what I can out of church, to trying to meet the needs of single moms who really do need some male influence for their young boys and, of course, for their girls, too. Anyway.
And God bless the youth workers, you know, that are stepping in there and joining in the lives of these kids, you know, in junior high school and in high school, and being great models, and that's just an amazing role.
Sure is.
And the whole fathering gap.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Michelle from Hayward, California. She listens online. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, great. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. How could we help you?
Well, I have a question about how to get a date worth keeping. It's a book that I've had for several years, and it's been in the back of my mind, but I haven't really felt like I was ready to date, but I've been working on myself, and I've been thinking about starting doing that program. And so my question is about the 5 new people that you're supposed to meet each week. So as a woman, I've always grown up with the idea that the guy should be doing the initiating, but I've read everything that Henry has to say, and it makes sense, you know, that I could go up to a guy and strike up a conversation. But my question is, so I'm supposed to
Hey, Michelle, I just want to ask a question. What is wrong when we have it's a breakthrough for people to realize, gosh, it's okay for me to have a conversation? What has gotten into the minds of women, especially in the church, where you can't even, something's wrong if you talk to a guy?
I don't know.
How'd that happen?
Well, I did read the rules about 10 years ago, which is a little extreme. And so I think that idea came from the rules.
Yeah, but there's a difference in chasing a guy on one end and showing up on the other. I mean, you got to show up and talk to people, right?
Right. So that's what I want to do.
All right.
So what do you think, Henry?
My question is, So if I'm meeting these five new people each week and getting enough information that they can follow up with me or I can follow up with them, that means that I'll be asking them for their phone number or email or something like that. But also, if, how do I say this? So, but also I know the point of meeting those five new people is they might not necessarily be people that you want to go on a date with, just to practice getting out there and talking to people. So that means that I'll be getting contact information for people that I might potentially not actually be contacting. Is that right?
Well, it's kind of two things. One, when I started the book, if you remember, the opening story was about a woman who had been taught in church that she's just supposed to kind of sit in the holy huddle and God's going to somehow bring a husband to her. And what I talked about was the goofy theology of that it has nothing to do with what the Bible teaches in terms of anything in life, that certainly God provides for us and God leads us and all of that. And I said that very explicitly, but God also requires for us to show up in life and do our part. And so part of the assignment I gave her was every Friday I wanted her to email me with five new names of guys that she had, you know, met that week by and by out in life and this, that, and the other. And I told her, I don't care if you ever go out with them. That's not the point. The point is to get you interacting with men, because once you get out there and interact with men, you might not want to go out with any of them, but you've got to be interacting enough to where you're coming alive and finding out what you're afraid of and what you think of yourself and what you think of them and what the fears are, and it gets you moving. Now, when you get to actually, you know, what you're going to do to find dates, there's a problem in our society with adults who go to work every day. They seem to see the same three people. They go home and they sit in front of the TV at night, and then Saturday they run errands, and Sunday they go to the same singles group with the same eight people that they've seen for the last 20 years, and their traffic patterns are awful. They never meet anybody. That's what good dating services are about.
Now that is a great word, traffic patterns.
Right. You get stuck in these traffic patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want you to do. I want you to get involved in life and start talking to people and interacting so you can find out what your fears and issues are and this, that, and the other. But if you're looking for, you know, the kind of actually getting a date, you might have to, and there's a chapter on this in the book about why I think good dating services are very, very important.
I understand the point of meeting the five new people each week, but I guess my question is about the three requirements that they have to have, where they have to be new, they have to be interested enough to want to get in contact with you, and they have to have a way to get in contact with you. So as a woman, does that mean that I'm asking guys for their contact information so they meet the three requirements?
No, what I was meaning with the three.
Maybe I'm confused.
Yeah, and I let me try to clarify, because I think we're confusing a couple of things. One is, here's what I want singles to understand. There are three. It's like a stool. There are three legs to a stool of a date. You've got to meet somebody new, right? They've got to have enough of some kind of interaction with you to get them to take a call to action and find you, to ask you out, right? And thirdly, they got to be able to find you. If you take any one of those three away, you do not have a date on the other end of it. That's the point.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
So that doesn't mean, I mean, if you're meeting in life and in interactions and in church and all over the place, if you're meeting guys that talk to you and have enough of an interaction with you to want to ask you out, and they're not taking that step to get your contact information, you probably want to pass on them anyway.
Okay.
That's why dating services are so important in today's world, I think, because that presupposes somebody has stepped up to the plate and said, you know, my traffic patterns are not good. I want to find some people to date. Steve, we've talked about this a lot. In here.
Well, I think for someone who has your mindset, it's a big leap to go out and stop memorizing the top of your shoes, look up, be open, and available to talk to a guy. And I mm-hmm. think that's the first great step that Henry talks about in his book, is just being open. You know, looking guys in the eye is maybe the first step. Not looking away, but engaging. And you know what? If you're not dressed seductively, guys don't think you're on the make or on the move. If you're dressed seductively and you start talking to a guy, their mind goes somewhere else. But I don't picture you as doing that. We can talk a little bit more about this after the break.
It's a great question, Michelle.
A lot of singles out there who have this same question. So hang on. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call. We'll be in the studio for a couple of hours today, so we'd love to talk to you. So come and join us. When we get back, also, I want to talk to you about Club New Life. We had a goal of 500 members by June, and I'll tell you where we are in that after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Well, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Mylon Yurkovich. We're talking about dating with Michelle. And Michelle, have we answered your question, or do you want to go into some more detail on what it is we could help you with so that you end up not only dating, but dating the right people?
Well, I think you did, because... So it sounds to me like you're saying that if I'm meeting these five new guys, that I don't need to be asking them for their contact information. And you're right, I have been closed. I mean, I've been aware that I've been closed. And so I'm,
cool.
you know, trying to open myself up to
So I have a question for Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
How close are you with your dad?
Well, remember when you spoke at Sunset Church, I think in January, I came up to you and Kay afterwards and talked to you for a few minutes. I don't know if you remember. You said that you thought I might look familiar.
Okay.
Anyway, this
so go ahead.
A while ago.
Okay. I do remember speaking at Sunset Church, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to a lot of people. Yeah. I haven't, I'm not close to my dad.
Okay. Okay, so just let me say, one of the things you may want to do if you haven't done that already is do some work with respect to grieving that loss. And mm-hmm. and what Henry is saying in his book is he's saying you as an adult you can't be you can't erase your childhood, but you can be responsible as an adult to do things opposite from how you were trained. And basically what we're saying here at New Life is get moving. Move into a new pattern. I liked Henry's word, a new traffic pattern. We were at a concert. I was at a concert on Friday night with my son, who's 37 and married in this. He was talking to me, and he was saying, I'm going to San Francisco on Monday. And this girl turned around. She said, oh, I'm from San Francisco. Why are you going to San Francisco? Hmm. And she just started a conversation mm-hmm. with Kevin. And when she figured out that he was married and that, they were going, he was going on a trip, she just said, well, I hope you have a great trip. And that was kind of the end of it. And we were all kind of hanging out in the same area for the concert. But mm-hmm. it was an example, I think, right. of what Henry's trying to say. Yeah. She just engaged and then figured out, well, this guy's not going to be a date worth keeping.
Right.
It's a good thing. Yeah. And but she was able to begin moving into this realm of learning to be comfortable with males.
And that's, Mylon, that's such an important part of it. And it's so weird how, and I've heard the teaching in the church. In fact, one of the reasons I wrote the book was there's so much, weird theology out there about the way singles are supposed to just kind of, totally in this way, let go and let God.
There's a passivity and that you're talking
that's
about.
That's the word. That's the word, passivity.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a caller we had on the radio, and she heard us talking about this, and she called really angry. And she said, I can't mm-hmm. believe that you're telling people to go out there and date. That's not the biblical way of doing it. God, the biblical way is God always brings the woman to the man, or the man to the woman, or however it is. And I'm waiting on God to bring me my man, and I trust the Lord. It sounds so spiritual. And I said, well, do you have to do anything? She said, I trust my Lord so much that he will bring my husband to me. The one I'm saying, he will bring. I said, well, but do you have to do anything? She said, I'm trusting. I said, do you have to go outside? She goes, and she literally said this. She said, I trust the Lord so much that he could bring the man I'm supposed to marry to my door. I said, lady, if you don't want to marry the FedEx guy, or a Jehovah's Witness, you better leave the house.
All right, now I got
because you got to get outside and where he can find you.
I have a great biblical example for you guys and Michelle. How did Ruth find one of the greatest husbands in the world?
There you go.
See,
she went on wheatfield.com.
she showed all the initiative. Ruth went to find her kinsman redeemer, and she sought him out. She
strategically sought him out,
and then just Bo, how would you like to wake up with a woman at your feet?
And Boaz
wakes up
bait,
and goes,
right?
"There's this woman sleeping at my feet." It's the coolest biblical story about showing initiative,
right? And all the others, they went out on the hunt, the patriarch would send them out to find the mate. And if you go to Matthew 6, one of the great passages about, don't worry about the future, God's going to provide. In the example Jesus gives, I love it. He says, look, the birds of the air. Look how God provides for the birds of the air. Well, guess what? God provides for the birds of the air. He puts the bugs out there, the mosquitoes for them to eat, and they got to leave the nest and go fly where the bugs are.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he got the promised land secured, and Joshua had to go possess it. And some of them didn't. They were passive, and they didn't get to the promised land. So our call is just get involved in life, and God will provide.
Start moving.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Go,
Michelle.
Yeah,
one thing I want to mention is I read Mylon's book, and I am definitely a classic avoider. So I've been trying to work on that, and it's been good.
Thank you, Michelle. It's a delight.
That is so great that you're doing all of this awareness stuff, and you're really coming to know who you are and the styles. Now, what you need is to combine that with courage to do the uncomfortable stuff.
Yeah.
Because you can't just be aware and you can't just be willing. You have to actually do it. Right?
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking about, too, that I need to do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you Regret-Free Living. You have Henry's book. I'll send you Avoiding Mr. Wrong. There are 10 guys in there that would really be a bad mistake. But there are a lot of really good guys out there that are Mr. Right and Mr.
But nobody's ideal, Steve. There's not one ideal person out there. We all have to grow in relationship, and that's what relationship is all about, is growing and healing. You just don't want to find somebody that's so off base that it's hard to grow.
Yeah, right. All right, we'll take a break. Come right back after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me. But if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Henry Cloud, and we love talking to singles. We love opening their minds up to the fact that maybe there is a different way. And I just want to mention this. I was talking with a single just last week who said, I don't date because dating always leads to sexual things with me. And my thing is, if you need to go to a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting to take care of the sexual part, then you might be free in your dating life, and you might discover that you no longer need to remain single after 20 years of being single and having had a husband be unfaithful and leave. So do whatever it takes to fix it, and don't use the church as an excuse for not wanting to be uncomfortable. Don't you see that happening too, Henry?
To use the church as an excuse in what way?
Yeah, they really don't want to risk rejection or something. So they say, oh, well, you know, if God will bring me someone.
Oh, I got you.
Rather than get out there, and that's
Steve,
sad.
Steve, we all have religious defenses.
Yeah.
We all find the Bible verses that sort of leap off the page that sort of reinforce the broken place I want to stay. So the pleaser can find all the verses that talk about turning the other cheek and being a servant, et cetera, et cetera. So can the victim. I mean, but we have to be careful that we, you know, look at the Bible accurately and not pull out the verses we want to use to reinforce our brokenness.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, let's take another call here. Why don't we go over here to Melissa, who watches us on the NRB television network. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Great. Thanks for joining us.
A little nervous.
Okay, hey, that's all right.
My question was, I'm struggling with having a happy marriage with my husband, because although we're both Christians, I'm finding that we're still unequally yoked. And it's really creating a divide.
Well, what's happened? Be specific with us about a problem that you have with yokedness.
Well, he's, you know, character-wise, you know, he's lied many times. We've been married for 3 years. It's going to be 4 years next month. But I've known him for about 15 years. But, you know, he's lied to me in the past, and he's cheated on me. And actually, he just recently went to Every Man's Battle because I gave him that ultimatum. And he was
good
really good for a while. I just see him kind of slipping back. And and whenever I bring it up to say anything like, you know, I don't see you, you know, reading the Bible like you used to, he gets very defensive because he is emotionally immature. And we get into an argument.
What is he doing that's different?
Now?
Yeah, does he go to meetings? Does he connect with his group every week like most of the guys do and sustain victory? What's he doing?
No, he's nothing much. He goes to work, he comes home, he goes to bed, lays down in the bed and watches TV. That's what it's been the last few weeks. Before that, it was, I mean, there's someone that does seem to try to reach out to him, and he may respond, but he's not going to any meetings. He's not being proactive with it. He's very reactive.
Because you're not requiring him to, are you?
When I do, he says I'm not looking at the stuff that he is doing. Like, he's like, I do read my Bible, I do this. So he's very defensive with it. So he's saying just because I'm not with him all the time, you know, I can't make the claim that he's not doing what he says he's doing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he's doing like that. Every man that gets involved with pornography and sexual addiction or whatever it is, they need the support of other men to grow in the area of character and also just to reinforce the great strides that they've taken. So he can be avoiding all the magazines and stuff, but that doesn't create a guy that's equally yoked with you from a standpoint of character. But you have to require him to get involved and be active the same way you required it when you said you go to this Every Man's Battle thing.
Yeah, but what do I require that he's not going to defend to say I am doing it? It's just, you know, your perception. Like, that's the thing. You just
wrong. What's at the heart of this is it's created a connection problem between the two of you, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely.
So one of the things I would do is I would say, let's go see a marriage counselor. And now that you've taken care of your problem and are doing so much better, why don't we go see if we can get reconnected? Mylon, Henry, what do you guys think?
Well, your husband asked a very good question. He talked about your perfectionism. He feels that from you. He feels like, you know, can I do anything right? Is my progress good enough at all? And sometimes there's an idealism that spouses have, and they want a person to be at a certain place, and when they're not, perhaps you're too hard on him. And I'm just trying to take his side for just a second, Melissa, because maybe there is something to his point. Growth takes time.
Right.
And I don't know how desperate you are to have this perfect husband idealistically in your mind just the way you want him to be. And it may be that you're riding him a little too hard. I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I'm taking his point, and I'm asking it back to you.
And it could be because I do look at it as, well, he just got saved when we got together, like 4 years ago, when we decided we were going to get married. So he's been walking this Christian walk for 4 years. And I know from myself, when I look at the way I grew, I knew I was alone, and I grew a much quicker pace because I got real involved. I was single. Now he's growing in a marriage. So I know it's going to be different and it's slower, and I was concerned about that when we did get married. And it just frustrates me and makes it harder for us to, you know, to connect. Intimacy is a problem. And we do, you know, he still wants to go to, you know, carnal shows and concerts and you know, I'm just not interested. I like to listen to Christian stations, gospel
music.
Well,
see, I went to a concert on Friday night, too. You see,
carnal,
and if yeah,
no, but it's not a Christian concert.
I was not at a Christian concert. I went to a non-Christian concert on Friday night, and that's what the point I'm trying to make. You have been alone, and you've created a very, if you will, a pretty narrow world. And you're saying, okay, he's outside that box, and we're in a different place, so we're unequally yoked. The Bible talks about unequally yoked as being saved versus not saved, and it sounds like your husband is saved. But it also sounds like you're trying to cram him in a box that's very small, and he's resisting you, and he's defensive, and you may be creating part of your own problem, okay? And I know Henry had a comment a moment ago. What were you going to say, Henry?
Well, I was going to ask Melissa, what is he doing in the relationship that's hurtful, that does not involve some kind of religious activity or discipline? In other words, I know he's not going to, you know, the church things you want him to go to and this and that, but just... Jesus made a comment one time to the Pharisees, and he said that there were weightier measures of the law that were important. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness were three examples he gave. Okay? Now, you're talking about what kind of concerts he goes to. What I want to know is, in your relationship with him, are there unjust things that he's doing? Are there unfaithful things that he's doing? Or is there some way in which he's harmful to you and doesn't show mercy when you failed?
I mean, those are the outside things, but the reason he went to Every Man's Battle because he was talking to, I mean, he does struggle with lust. He's looking at, he looks at.
Okay, so he's working with that, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, so what? Tell me where he is doing infractions of injustice to you, lack of mercy, and being unfaithful.
The other stuff were just overlooked. I mean, when we have discussions, like he'll raise his voice, you know, and just a defense, and just that I don't feel that I don't feel safe talking to him about things because.
But talking about what things? The religious activities that he's not doing?
Yeah.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Why don't you focus for a while on the main things, which are being honest with each other and being loving and being faithful and getting in a track where you connect that doesn't involve whether or not you're in a Christian concert or not, but the quality and the tone of what kind of safe connection you guys can have apart from all that, and see what happens.
All right. Let me send you a copy of Every Heart Restored. I hope that will help you there. And, you know, Sunday I preached about how not men need character and they need courage, but they also need cooperation from their spouses to do the things that the spouse wants them to do. We'll take a break and come back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and just want to mention to you that we had a goal of 500 new Club New Life members by June. That's the end of June. Well, 425 new members to Club New Life. That's a big boost. You know, it's the foundation of what we do here. And if you've thought about being a part of it, please, between now and June 30th, come join us and be part of Club New Life. We need 75 people to sign up to hit that goal. We've got 1,000 for the year, and we wanted to be at 500 in June. So think about it, pray about it, and if this is the kind of ministry that God's leading you to support, well, don't just support one that's like this ministry. Support this one. I hope you will. Now, we've got we've got a Healing is a Choice workshop coming up in Philadelphia. That's in July. Mylon, from a therapist perspective, what do you see happening at these that make them so, so very powerful?
You know, people come in to that weekend reluctant, hesitant, fearful, apprehensive. Some people come in dragged into the weekend, you know, but they all are stuck in a problem. Yeah. And between your sessions, and I happen to love the Healing is a Choice material. It's fabulous material that you teach in the main sessions. And then there's 6 90-minute sessions with a therapist and a group of 8 or 10 people. And people pop out the other end of the weekend at noon on Sunday, having had a dramatic intervention that really sort of breaks open that logjam and gets the stream flowing again. It's a powerful weekend. And those of us that are there and participating that weekend, we're always astounded at how stuck people are on Friday night and how much looser they are at 12 noon on Sunday. It's a yeah. profound experience.
Well, if you have a need, we've got a conference for you. And this Healing is a Choice is really a place to take care of some old wounds so you can get on with your life. And we have some other things. Every man's battle is every month. And I hope that you're hearing people get their husbands to go by saying, okay, it's time. And you make the reservation for them and you tell them it's done, you need to go. I mean, that's how you change the marriage. And then we've got a wonderful event coming up in September called Wives in the Battle. For all of you women who have been affected, it's really, we're changing it to Women in the Battle. You don't have to be married. Maybe you were married to one of these guys and you need to heal. And Sherry Denham is going to be doing that one. And, of course, we've got Lose It for Life coming up toward the end of the year. So if you're interested in making a major life change, doing some work, go online or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com. Or 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and let us tell you about the things that could be happening in your life, the healing things that could make all the difference in the world. For our final call, and if you're holding, please do hold, because we'll get to you in the next hour. Let's talk to Steve from Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Steve. My name is Henry. It's good to hear y'all. I listen to you every day since you were in Louisville last time, Steve.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for doing
it. Every day since then.
Wonderful, wonderful. We love Louisville, that's for sure.
Well, I had a comment and a question, but I think we only have time for the comment right now. And
okay.
It's not really a comment. It's more of a request for acknowledgement. I'm a single father, have been for about 7 years. I have 2 teenage boys, and you never hear too much about the single fathers.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
And I just wanted to make the comment that I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I made this choice, but it was the only choice I felt that I had at the time. And it's been a really rough job through the teenage years, two teenage boys. Yeah. And I just want to see what y'all's comments were on that, because, you know, it seems like a church, you know. And I know they're well worthy of it, the single moms. And it seems like we kind of get overlooked every once in a while.
No, I think you do. I was a single father, and you're just kind of out there making it up as you go along the best that you can. Henry, you have a thought on this?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Steve, hats off to you, and God bless you for being committed to your kids all by yourself. And especially in those years, if you were in an intact family, it still it takes a tribe, to do this, because the developmental path of a teenager is basically, it's a passing of the baton. It's an overthrow of the government, that they have been under your authority for the years up until that teenage gap there. And then on the other end of it, they're going to come out of there, at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, but at some point where they are the ones that hold the authority over their life. You know, if you go to Galatians 4, the Bible outlines this, and it says that when we're children, we're under guardians and managers until the date set forth by the Father. That's kind of the bar mitzvah or the bat mitzvah, and everybody kind of has their way of doing that. And then it says that you graduate these kids to adulthood where they're under God. So in that middle phase of adolescence, when they're not as under your authority in the sense, I don't mean the big way, but they're starting to think for themselves, they're choosing their values, they're doing all that stuff. There's an unplugging from the parent, but not in a releasing yet, but there's an unplugging where another group has got to come in and kind of be that transitional space where they do this. And two things are very, very important. One is a positive peer group that is seeking God and seeking the light and seeking good grades and seeking growth and all that sort of stuff. And secondly, a positive authority group like good youth workers, and good coaches and good other adults that can do this with you. Now, that would be the case if you had an intact family. It's even more so when you're a single parent, mother or father. So I would do everything possible to get involved in those two kinds of circles where you're actively involved in helping create those communities and places where your kids can do this.
All right. I'm so glad you called, and I'll send you a copy of Regret Free Living. That's our gift to anybody that supports the ministry. Please do call us 1-800-RED-FREE. New Life. That's the phone number, or go to newlife.com. And if you were on the cruise, just know that we all are missing you. I certainly am. And you can go to newlife.com. There's a blog there. We've got some pictures of what we did. But I have to tell you, Mylon, the highlight of the trip was being baptized by you in the Jordan River. Thank you so much. You'll be part of my life forever. And then also I got to baptize Madeline. That was just the coolest thing to do in the Jordan River.
It was an amazing experience. We baptized maybe, 40 people, 50 people, something like that?
I think so, yeah.
And we even did some sisters together. We did some husbands and wives together. It was a special time, and I was very honored for you to ask me to baptize you, and also Sherry, our other radio co-host that was there, and it was a delight.
Well, if you ever get a chance to do something with New Life, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. And we just had rave reviews of that trip, and I hope that you'll join us. We may do the, I don't know what we're going to do next year, but it's going to be something special. And it'll be something along the same lines we did this year, but in a different place maybe. We're working on that right now. But anyway, we love you. We care about you. If you need help, there is a phone number that you can call 24 hours a day, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or you can go to that website, newlife.com. And from there, you can get the help that you need. You can also support us there. You can give online. Summer is always tough. We always need your help. And so please go online or call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, okay, I can step up here during the summer. I can help you with kind of a downtime. And we'll thank you greatly for that. But until next time, thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Henry. And thanks to all of you who listen and support us. We love you, and we'll see you here tomorrow on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.